My very first deal was a fire burned house that the guy wanted $15,000. I was like, wow, $15,000 for a house, you know, you can't beat that. I countered at 10, we met at 12, and then I sold that house for $19,000 just a few weeks later and got in the game.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check. Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
All right, what's up, guys? Here in we have a new episode of the REIpreneurs Podcast, where previously used to be called the Online Hustlers Podcast in the real estate space. That is gone. That is 2023, 2022, where you used to be a hustler, and now we are real entrepreneurs. And real estate investing entrepreneurs are the people that we're going to bring into this episode. Today, we have a special guest. His name is Lincoln. Lincoln is also a client of ours, and he's a strategic partner for many, many deals that have been happening in the real estate space, where he's done deals with homeowners, other real estate investors, and so on. And his specialty right now is doing wholesaling. He's getting into innovations, and he's closed commercial properties, where to the point now, he is currently owning $9 million in real estate. But the story here is that he actually started flipping cars. As you know, you can make money out of flipping anything. You can literally flip shoes. I know a bunch of companies, they make millions of dollars here in Miami where they flip shoes. You can flip cars. You can flip furniture. You can flip anything that you can fix up and ultimately make money. And we are in the game of making something look great and get paid after you do some sort of repairs out of it. And that is house flipping, right? So REIpreneurs is a discipline of many different people that we're going to bring in on the wholesale space, in the creative financing space, real estate, commercial real estate, fix and flip, Airbnb, short-term rentals of any kind, and any other different type of real estate entrepreneurship, could be software, services, and so on. So today, my special guest, his name is Lincoln. I want to introduce you guys as one of the guys that actually has a really interesting case study. Because am I wrong? But I believe you commented on that you were able to get a deal after someone came in from a lead that was under contract from a real estate agent, and they ended up calling you back at some point. You ended up making money out of that lead that was under contract with a real estate agent. Am I correct on that one?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely took a deal down like that, where a deal was brought to us from an agent, and there's a couple different times this happened where the house was already listed, but we saw, well, you know, even at that price, there's room to make money on this for a wholesale for one of our buyers just by putting it in front of them. And so we were able to take it down and turn around and sell it for a profit.
Yeah, I think it was like over 50 or 40, something like that, where you made good money. Yeah, I saw that. And I saw it in the comment. I'm like, this guy is resourceful. He knows that follow-up is key. He knows that he needs to collaborate with real estate agents as a real estate flipper, as a wholesaler. And he knows that if a seller doesn't sell today, it will sell in the future. So I like that comment. Thank you for sharing that. But let's jump right into, tell me what's going on. So you're a car flipper. Tell me more about that. Like, who was Lincoln back then? And like, what crazy things as a 20-year-old that started entrepreneurship, now that you're 24, owning $9 million in real estate, tell me a few crazy things that you went through when you were doing, car flipping.
Yeah. You know, I'm definitely glad with where I've been at recently, just coming from initially, selling cars. Really, I was buying and selling anything I could. I never had worked for anybody. In fact, I still haven't had a W-2. I just always wanted to work for myself and do business, and buying and selling just kind of became the thing that I did. Owned my own lawn care business, did that for 7 years. And then I just started experimenting with finding things on Marketplace, Craigslist, wherever I could find a deal, from electronics and phones, bikes, jet skis, you know, tickets to shows and whatever else. I would just buy low, sell high, negotiate, figure it out. And so, you know, I did that with cars for a little while and it was good. I never went to the point of getting my dealer's license, but, you know, would still do, you know, one or two a month, you know, make a couple thousand each, and really enjoyed it because you could just, you know, I just love hunting for deals and looking for opportunity. And I felt like that's what I could do well with anything, you know, car related. And it just got to the point where I was like, you know what? I started my first year of college. I wasn't really passionate about anything specifically there though. And I was like, you know what? I've done this with cars. I think the same principle should apply with houses. And started listening to podcasts, reading books, wholesaling kept coming up again and again. And I was like, you know what? I think this is a route I'd like to go in. So let's just go 100% at it, study, learn, and just jump into trying to do a house flip, a wholesale, buy low, sell high. And that's what I did, getting into real estate. So my very first deal was a fire burned house that the guy wanted $15,000. I was like, wow, $15,000 for a house, you know, you can't beat that. I countered at 10, we met at 12, and then I sold that house for $19,000 just a few weeks later and got in the game. So that was my start to it all, and I kind of got hooked from the beginning.
Yeah. So what were the skills that you brought from flipping cars to flipping houses? It's two different type of products, obviously, but what'd you bring in as a young entrepreneur that really have helped you now to the point where you've done 200 deals now and you own $9 million in real estate and over $1 million in equity now? It's crazy the amount of things that you've been able to do in such a short period of time. And you're just 24, dude. When I was 24, I was literally just partying my ass out. So good for you, to be honest.
Hey, yeah, no, I'm glad it's kept me out of trouble just working on the business. But I, you know, the thing that I realized when buying and selling anything is something is worth what somebody is willing to pay for it, right? So I had to figure out, all right, I know cars, I've studied the market, and so I can just scroll through Marketplace and find a good deal when it stands out, when it's not marketed well. And so that was what I translated over to real estate is, okay, this house, as rough as it is, you know, as much rehab as it needs, it's worth something to somebody. So first off, I got to find who are these people, right? So I had to go out and get some investors on my buyer's list, kind of talk to them, know what they were looking for, and hear roughly what are they willing to pay based off of what it needs, what it'll be worth. So I started figuring out, okay, we got to figure out the ARV, got to do a margin of 75 to 70% of ARV, 30% margin, and then the rehab and then my wholesale fee. So I figured out that process, realized, okay, now I know what somebody's willing to pay for this. Now I just got to go out and find it, right? I've got the end buyer. Now I just got to go find the product. And that's what I did. As I went out, found this property, had some buyers already interested. And then it was just a matter of negotiation and getting the best deal I could on that specific house.
Yeah. Okay. That's great, man. So you brought in, obviously, that grind of knowing how to find good deals or identify good deals. But that's not enough, obviously. You know that, right? And there is a lot of things that wholesalers don't do in their first, especially in their first 3 years of business, where you have done it. Like, you've done 200 deals. That doing 200 deals in the relatively short amount of period of time, even though I'm pretty sure it's been quite a ride for you, It's not easy, okay? And this game itself is not easy. You have a podcast. I'm pretty sure you talk about like doing deals all the time. What's the name of your podcast yourself?
Yeah, the Growth Circle Podcast.
The Growth Circle. So growth and the right circle. Like, that's already two words that are huge for any person that wants to come in and do this business. You need to grow in every aspect, and you need to be in the right circle, and you have to be in a growth circle. And I believe that you've taken actions and you're doing things that other people are not doing. You learn things that other people don't learn right now. And you believe in certain things that some people don't believe just yet. So let's go over real quick. What do you feel like are some of those things that you do, right? You do believe and you do have learned over the past few years to do 200 deals. You locked up a huge commercial deal last year in your own $9 million in real estate. So what are those things that you do? What are the things that you've learned? What are those things that you believe in?
Yeah. For me, it always starts with the golden rule, as they say, treat others the way you want to be treated. For me, I knew that when it comes on to a business like wholesaling or real estate, it's very transactional. There are large deals that in one single deal, you can make $10,000, $50,000. And you know, it can be really easy to get laser focused and hone in on that one deal and do everything possible to squeeze out every penny. But for me, it's always been a matter of creating strong relationships and connections that I can do business with again and again. Because I can go and I can sell this wholesale deal. You know, it's a rough house, it needs work, and I can sell it to an investor without disclosing actually everything that's going on behind the scenes, everything that I know from the seller because we've talked. And then he kind of gets screwed or loses a bunch of money on that, you know, loses more money on that deal than he was expecting. And so that's just one example of making sure I go above and beyond to say, no, I know all this information. I'm going to share it. I want you to benefit. I want you to make money. And this can go the same route as for the seller. You know, I need to disclose exactly how this process is going to go, not withhold information that might actually end up hurting them or the deal. So for me, I always want to be above board and treat other people right. And I've found that's always going to come back around. Last year, our number one lead source was referral deals brought to us by other investors. And that's because the 3 years prior, I've made sure I've carefully gone about taking care of people, giving them commissions and referral fees and bonuses if they help us out, if they do things for us. So for me, that's number one, is just always been thinking about the others first and making sure they are winning. And by default, you're going to be winning in exchange.
Let's talk about that real quick. Let's dive into it a little bit more. So I'm assuming you not only apply that with strategic partners like other wholesalers or investors, but you apply that to everyone. Because like when you do something, you probably do everything the same way. So your team members, do you have team members in place?
I do. Yeah, I got two guys full time in the office.
All right. So two guys full time. How applicable is that right now for you and with your team? Where you're essentially taking care of them. You're making sure that they're having bonuses, making sure that they can, you know, win more than what they would regularly win, because they're also doing more that they're supposed to, and they're getting compensated based on a win that is generated for the company. But let's talk about that. So what's your philosophy in terms of currently building your team or the way that you currently have been doing it?
Right. You know, when it comes to the guys that work for me, I absolutely want to equip them in every way I can for their success. And, you know, for them personally, because they're mostly commission-based positions, as well as obviously for the company to do well. But for me, it comes down to, you know, if there's a deal where, you know, say I ended up doing a majority or more work, you know, than I usually would, you know, maybe it's an acquisitions guy and I kind of, you know, help put the pieces together on this initial deal. You know, I may have even brought the lead. He just helped run the comps and do the analysis. I still usually err on the side of giving them their full commission rather than trying to split hairs and well, I actually did some of this work and you kind of did this, so we'll cut it this time. For me, it's, look, if they're a part of this, I want them to feel like they're winning and doing well. We're a team in this effort, and instead of trying to do everything I can to cut corners, save money. And you know, I want to bring them some good clients. Like I've got, before I had them on, I have really good connections and investors that buy from us. So I want to give those guys over to my dispositions manager so he can use them for our buyers list. And then I have good landlords that sell us a lot of properties, and I want to give those people to my acquisitions guy so he can reach out and follow up with them, rather than trying to hold that to myself, because these are my very best lead sources for deals. You know, I want to give that back to them so I can trust them to run, build the company up, do more deals instead of trying to cut everything short. And I've seen that only go further and the urgency, you know, even take more hold, you know, in the work that they do.
Yeah. I mean, I like that approach because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they start in a very selfish matter. They're like, oh, I I'm investing in myself. I want this, I want that, and this is what I'm going to do, right? And then ultimately, this is not a selfish game. This is a selfless game. So when you think about it, if you're going to, you know, penny pick and like nickel picking a few things here and there, especially with your team, where, oh, I helped you, I closed that deal, or I helped you get that deal to the finish line, therefore I'm going to cut commission out of that deal. Like, that's part of training. That's part of you training them, right? It's part of ultimately help them get better, because at some point it will be a process that is automated for you. So why are you going to penalize certain things where you should be fully just supportive to that person, right? And I feel like a lot of people, they are like that because it's their money, their leads, their marketing, their business. But at the end of the day, if you want people to really stay with you for a long time, dude, like, you have to make them feel like this is the best place to be in a long time, right? So
absolutely.
I love that, man. So what are the few relationships that you've been able to build to, you know, that brought you amazing deals? What are some of those deals or some of those things that relationships and giving brought you so far?
Yeah, exactly. As far as the relationships go, you know, I feel like, especially maybe wholesalers or house flippers, they can kind of, you know, it can be easy to resort to a scarcity mindset instead of that abundance mindset. But I think it's so crucial to have that abundance philosophy when you're doing deals, because some of the, you know, the characters in our, you know, local economy or local community where we're buying and selling properties, some just kind of cut them out, like, oh, you know, they're annoying, I don't want to do deals with them, or, oh, they kind of screwed me one time on this, or I heard that they did this to so-and-so. And, you know, very quick to shut people out. And you got to watch and be careful and know who you're dealing with. But for me, you know, I don't ever get upset when there's other wholesalers out there that are doing well. They're, you know, they're taking maybe even some deals that I could have had or that I was working on. I say, you know, go for it. There are thousands and tens of thousands of houses in our area. There's plenty for us to go around. In fact, if you need a contractor recommendation, I'll help you with that. If you need a title company to work with, I'll give you a contact. And again, that abundance of, I know there's plenty of deals, I know that there's a lot of great people to work with, I'm going to do that. So for me, there's one guy in particular I can think of that, you know, there's a couple of deals I got that, you know, I felt like not everything was disclosed. There's some more issues with the house than, you know, was expected. But I still decided, you know what, this guy's brought me deals. You know, he's moving and shaking and doing other things. I'm going to kind of look past that in this case. In fact, I'm going to help him out when he's, you know, when he needs a recommendation or a contact. And since then, you know, he's brought us deals that have made us well over $200,000 just last year. And so for me, I think it's worthwhile sticking with somebody and giving them the benefit of the doubt. So just like in that case, it's a relationship that I'm going to foster, and I'm going to meet up with him for lunch and coffee, and knowing that, you know, when I do so and when I help him out, he's likely to bring me the deal first and we can do more business.
Yeah, I love that. So a few other things that you started doing, like, for example, what do you do last 2023 to help you end the year that you wanted? Well, if you accomplish everything that you wanted to do, it's early on 2024. So now we can talk about the things that happened 2023, such as that big deal of a commercial property. So what are the few things that you did 2023 that kind of switched up the gears, changed the game?
Yeah. You know, what we got into more last year than we hadn't was wholesaling, but also just acquiring multi-family property, apartments, commercial buildings, packages of houses, all these types of things that I was a little bit scared to jump into before. But I realized last year, like always, if there's a buyer, then, you know, it can be sold. It can be acquired. And, you know, it just takes better lender connections. Where's the money going to come from? So I started figuring all of that out last year. And early on, we were able to acquire a 12-unit package of some multifamily. And I ended up selling off actually it was 14 units, sold off a duplex to keep 12. And so now I have those 12 units in my portfolio that I had to bring $0 to the table for. In fact, I got a small check back of a few thousand, and I've got 25% equity in it, all because somebody brought me a deal. It needed a creative solution to get it done in a quick timeline. And because I had the financial connections ready, I was able to take it down, sell off a property, and keep the rest. And so that was one that happened earlier last year. I was able to add, I think, $180,000 in equity from those properties. And we ended up doing that with a 24 unit and some other, you know, commercial spaces, which was unique for us.
That's great, man. So you got into commercial, but you also were running your wholesale operations or fix and flip operations as well at the same time. Is it with the same team?
Yeah, same team. The team in the office really focuses on the wholesale side of acquisitions and dispositions. I do have three crews of contractors that are actually working the properties and crushing it that way. But as far as the team goes, that's kind of their role.
Okay, that's huge. I believe we met earlier last year. Did we meet earlier last year? I mean,
right.
our company and our team, we met with you earlier last year?
I believe it was, beginning of last year, roughly.
Okay. Do you come from an ad or a Facebook ad, or you came from, like, I don't know, how did you get to know about social media?
I'm pretty sure it was Facebook, just seeing you guys post there that I originally got connected.
Okay, got it. So you started doing online marketing, some Facebook. We're not doing Google ads just yet, correct?
Correct.
All right. So everything's been Facebook, and if I'm correct, are we going to go for a year, or are we already over a year doing?
Well, we are a little over a year. It was later, I guess. Now that I think, it was later 2022 when we got started, because I've been with you all over a full year now. I know.
Okay, there you go. So it's been an entire year of 2023 running online marketing. I believe you have one of our greatest CSMs that we have in place. But I love to cover, like, when you started doing online marketing, and you have two people in place, how do you deal with trusting two individuals and not necessarily taking the call to yourself when, you know, these leads are running and they're more costly? What's the process? What systems have you put in place in order to continuously close deals, in order to continuously, you know, be profitable, make it happen, you know, run a business and ensure that they are taking care of these inbound leads?
Absolutely. It's crucial that I've learned to delegate and to equip others over the last couple of years. Otherwise, the business wouldn't be able to continue to grow the way it has. And that takes, you know, a step of faith and to just jump into it at some level, trusting that, look, if I took these myself, I feel like I've got the experience and skill set to potentially even close more, right? But at the end of the day, if I devote some time and energy into this individual here in the office to train him up to do the same exact thing, if we can get 80 to 85% of the same results, then we're winning, right? Because it's his time and mine's freed up to go. So when it comes to leads coming in, we do pay a lot for these leads, you know, when we're doing inbound lead sources like Facebook. So initially, when this acquisitions guy was first starting, it was a lot more handholding. It was me looking at every lead that came in with him, talking about them, breaking it down, and just checking in on his follow-up, right? Making sure you're calling twice a day for the first week, and then you're calling a few times a week after that. And what are you saying? What are those conversations like? So a lot of hand-holding, a lot of close looking at those deals. And then it became, you know, more sporadic of, okay, I feel like we're on the same page here. You know how to run your comps. You know how to do the conversation. I'll check in, you know, every other day on the leads, and then once a week. And now it's gotten to the point where the leads can come in. He takes a look over them. He calls them back. He sets up the appointments. He's running the numbers. He's making the offer. And at that point, I might look at the offer before it goes out. But sometimes, you know, he'll even take that jump without me knowing. And that's all from just slowly over time, giving him more trust, giving him, you know, more experience on his own. And that's the process you got to be willing to go through with any hire, really. But especially, you know, when you're spending the money on leads, like we are with Hazul on, you know, an online source like this.
Yeah. Okay. So you consider yourself a visionary, more like integrator. It seems like you're a combination of both, or?
You know, it's at this point, it's a combination of both. I do like being a little bit more the visionary and, you know, networking, client connections and such to be more growth focused. But at the stage of, you know, the business, I still tend to be an implementer, integrator on a lot of the aspects, but that's kind of where, you know, I'd like to be as I find more people to hire on and delegate out to.
All right. As a 24-year-old dude, and then you started at 20, how do you stay so disciplined, so structured? Like, a lot of people that are in this game, they've been there for years, or they tried it for years and they come to speak with us, you know, company like us and stuff like that. And we notice every constraint that are in their business. And it seems like you have done a lot of things that people still haven't been able to figure it out. So as such a young guy, like 20, 24, like what's the secrets?
You know, it's usually the boring things that nobody really wants to do that are the things that make us the most money and are most successful for us. And, you know, I'd really say it's just being consistent day in and day out for the last several years of doing the things that I know we're going to directly lead to deals, especially early on. I think that's so important and overlooked is everybody wants to do the things of setting up a website and, you know, building out your LLC and creating an operations manual of all the systems you need, rather than just picking up the phone or getting some ads going and just starting to do things that could directly lead towards you making money. And for me, I just put my head down and I called, I put out mailers, I door knocked, I did what I needed to do to get deals and to build the business. And so I focused on that a lot for the first couple of years, is just grinding on acquiring deals. And then after that, it was more starting to build out the systems, the team and all of that. But it's just showing up every day, you know, some longer days and weekends, but for the most part, if you can be efficient 8 to 5, that's all you really need. If you can be efficient and productive 8 to 5, you're going to pass the competition quicker than you'd think, because most people are in this for 6 months and they're out, or they're hot and cold. But if you can be consistently working on things that are going to get you deals, and a big part of that is being smart and tracking your money, tracking your time. You know, I've always tracked our lead sources, what's bringing us the most money, what are we spending on it, where do we need to shift our efforts on marketing, where do we need to improve our negotiations. So it's being very vigilant on every component of your day and of your time. But if you're efficient with those 8 to 9 hours you're working consistently for years, it's just only going to build up over time.
Yeah. So obviously, when you started wholesaling or flipping when you were 20, is that right?
Right.
Okay. Before that, you were doing car flipping. It seems like you were just hungry to make money.
Yeah. I was about it.
Partying wasn't like a big part of you, or like doing younger people things, being with friends and things like that, was more like making money. Is that what it is?
You know, it's like I had some good times with friends and going out, a few years ago, but it never distracted from the important things of my business, of my involvement in church. So it's like I've got my priorities and I know what I'm about and what's going to take precedent. But, you know, I still have some, you know, some fun times. And this really, working for myself, has allowed me the time to travel and do some of those extras. But it is always the secondary and never the primary.
Yeah. So if someone that is literally struggling, someone that is struggling to close deals, what would you tell them to do right now and start doing tomorrow?
Right now, today, I would go and just knock on as many doors as possible, asking if people would like to hear a cash offer on their property. I don't think anything, if you don't have money, if you got money to throw at something, you know, give it to Hezel Media, give it to them, you know, somebody, and do some online ads, do some mailers. But for most people getting started, you've got more time than money. I would just say, go start knocking on doors. And you will get deals if you put yourself out there, if you provide that solution to somebody, or pick up the phone and start dialing numbers and asking if they want to sell. I promise you, if you do that day in and day out, hour after hour, you're going to find somebody that, you know, will work with you. And I think that's just the easiest jump, you know, to get started.
What about someone that has already built something and already went through that? They're running maybe some cold campaigns. Maybe some direct mail here and there. They tried a few things. Maybe they're buying some paper lead here and there. Like, and they're just, you know, they're just haven't been able to get past the one or two deal a month or yeah. So what would you tell them to do right now?
The biggest thing I've learned over the last year, especially a couple years, is your network is everything. The connections that you have are so, so important in this business. And like I had mentioned, our number one lead source last year was other people bringing us deals that we didn't spend any money on. Now we'll turn around and give them a referral bonus for doing so, so it incentivizes them. But your network and your connections are everything. So start going to the meetups, start going to get coffee and lunch with other investors in your area and just get connected. And I would say, similarly to calling homeowners, just start going through your local real estate agents and calling them. Call every single person that's doing real estate and tell them, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm looking to buy properties that need renovation, that need fixed up, and I can provide a cash offer for that, make it as easy as possible. I'd love to get you paid. I'd love to pay you a full 6% commission just for bringing me those deals. And go out and start getting connected to hundreds of realtors. And before you know it, those realtors will think of you, especially if you follow up every month or two, and they'll start bringing you deals of like, hey, this is a seller that wants to sell, but they don't want to list. Can you give them an offer? Before you know it, that network is going to start bringing deals straight to you that you didn't even have to spend money on. And that's how the business really grows. So I would recommend get connected to your real estate professionals, to agents, and put yourself out there more.
That's kind of what you did. Also, you have your Growth Circle podcast for that reason too. It's a tactical marketing play, right? Like right. You have a podcast, you go to the RIAs or you go to the meetups, you have a few guests here and there. You create relationships. So I feel like that's also a hack. Is it?
It is. I mean, you know, you obviously are doing a great job with your marketing efforts, with your social media companies, because it works, right? What are people on nowadays? They're on social media. That's the common place for people to meet up and discuss. So just by providing valuable free content that people can watch, making posts, you don't even have to have a full-time podcast, just by making real estate related posts and getting your deals out there for people to see, that's going to, again, it's all about those repetitions and getting in front of people and the association with your name and real estate deals, your name and cash offer, whatever it is. And the more they see that online, the better chance they're going to think of you when they actually have a problem that comes up and they need a solution. So I would absolutely say your personal page, start a business page, start a content page of real estate related efforts.
Yeah. Right now, how can people find you in social media? You have a YouTube channel too? Do you have a social media? What's in there?
The best way is, yeah, reach out to me through my podcast, Growth Circle Podcast. It's on all the different platforms. We put up videos on YouTube, on Instagram. So just search the Growth Circle Podcast and you'll be able to connect with me directly through any of those.
Love it. All right. So Lincoln, we were talking about the things that you were doing over the last few years, but what have you learned differently so far that you'd be like, like this book, this course, this coaching, this technique, this strategy, this tactic, or this belief, or this habit, like, is the one that helped me a lot, like in the last year, and so on.
You know, the thing that comes to mind that is just more of like a principle of how money works. You got Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants, and the four quadrants are employee, self-employed, and you've got business and investments. And 95 to 99% of people are on this side of the quadrant. They're self-employed or employed, right? So they put time in to get money out. On this other side, it's businesses and investments. And that is, you put time in initially, and then it continues to put money out on its own because of something that you've set up. And so the more I get into real estate and rentals and business, the more I realize I need to be putting the majority of my time, as much as possible, out of the day-to-day employment side and more into my business, which will eventually be a machine that can make money for me on its own because of the systems I set up, or into investments that do the same. I initially acquire it, I hand it off to somebody to manage, and then it can also produce income on its own. And it can be easy in the business to get caught up in the day-to-day work, to get caught up in just going through the deals and taking care of things that are in the moment. But I have to section off a portion of my day every day to work on business building aspects rather than just working in the business. And so the more I get into it, the more I love spending time on building the systems itself, on trying to acquire properties instead of just flipping them away for an instant cash return. So I'd recommend for anybody, figure out what portion of your day you can devote to that other side of the cash flow quadrant to make your money work for you rather than you working for your money for the rest of your life.
Any tools that you recommend, or any resources for helping structure that part from going from wholesale to acquiring?
Yeah, you know, it really comes down to, you got to get educated. You got to know how to make that switch. So I think that the book on real estate investing by Brandon Turner is a really good resource on just how to get started as a basic guide. The Burr Method by David Green is an excellent book on how to basically get into rental properties again and again without leaving your money in the deal. Those were good ones in getting started. In this environment, interest rates are high, so it can be tough. The book on investing in real estate with no and low money down, also by Brandon Turner's, is an excellent source on all kinds of creative options to get into deals when, you know, just putting down money or just trying to get normal equity in a property isn't working. So those are some things I'd recommend. Meeting up with anybody you know that's an investor and just trying to gain as much knowledge from them as possible. I mean, everybody, whether you may even be more successful and know more than them, everybody can teach you something. So be very teachable and always have your ears open. But those are a few of my favorite books that just lay the groundwork for how to get into investment deals.
All right. Well, thank you, Lincoln, the owner of HomeLink. And I guess HomeLink and corporations that are about to come, right?
That's it. That's it.
What's next for you, man?
You know, this year we want it to be our $1 million year. So that's what we're going for in gross revenue. Want to acquire, you know, another 40 rental properties this year and just kind of keep things going, both wholesale and on the rental portfolio. Hire on a couple to the team in order to make that happen and just keep things going 2024.
All right. Well, if Hustle Media can help you and Remo Latinos can help you in any way, we always got you. You know, let us know if there is any terms of hiring or like changing up or upgrading or tweaking the marketing or anything. We got you. We can help you with different things. If not, we also have great guides or resources or strategic partners that can help a lot. You know what I mean? So I love to have you in an episode whenever I see that $1 million revenue.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
And acquire more properties, man. Man, thank you for being here in this podcast. Anything that you'd like to say to any listeners that are here that you feel like you need to listen, you need to hear?
Yeah, you know, we've all got a next step that we know we need to take in any part of life, business especially, maybe relationships. It's all about taking that next step. So I'd say if you've got something that's been on your mind, oh, I need to get this done, oh, I need to do this to start this or to complete that, I would just say today, set aside some time to put that action forward on that next step you know you need to take in business or in life. And it's just one step at a time each and every day that leads towards massive successes in the future.
Love it, man. Thank you so much. Well, everyone, go listen to the Growth Circle podcast. Follow Lincoln in social media. Your social media is Lincoln, I guess, Amstutz.
Yep.
All right, cool. Awesome. So thank you for this episode, man, again. Let's keep crushing it. Let's get 2024 to be a great year. It's going to be the year for a lot of people that put in the work, do the boring thing, like Lincoln was saying, and you know, structured their business to be working on the business. All right, so let's get it. All right.